You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
6 minutes after nine South African time, you are tuning in, listening to the Q&A on this beautiful, mashallah, Monday night. It's part two between now to 10 o'clock. 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2-7-8-4-7-8-6-3-1-3-2. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, is it permissible to sell women's perfume, Ustad?
To sell women's perfume is permissible. That's a different issue. Now, the women use it in the incorrect places. For example, you sell a knife, you sell guns, you send all arms and ammunition or whatever. So it's permissible, provided you have the license and all that for it. Now, a person goes and stabs somebody with a knife, Allah forbid, he shoots somebody. So obviously, that is his problem, not your problem that you sold it to him. So, yes, similarly, if you sell perfume, so that will be permissible. And remember, today's perfume and lotions and what have you, many of them have alcohol and so forth and so on. The fatwa is, it is permissible, but remember, taqwa, piety is better to abstain. If you want an academic discussion on this, Mufti Taqi Usmani has written a wonderful fatwa on this in Takmila Fathil Mulhim, and that is a commentary of Sahih Muslim. It is in volume 3, so I think, if I remember. So anyway, so you just check it up there, you will find it in Kitabul Ashriba and so forth. So you will find an academic discussion there. So fatwa will be permissible, taqwa will be precaution that you abstain from that. If a woman uses perfume and she goes out in the public, see and listen to the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger, peace be upon him, alayhi salatu wasalam, idha kharajatil mar'a, when the lady emerges and leaves her home, وَهِيَ مُتَعَتِّرَةً, and she applied this perfume and what makeup and all these things, women know better than us. فَمَرَّتْ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, she passed the man and wants to be the center of attraction and so forth. فَهِيَ زَانِيَةً, she is like an adulteress. These are the words of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So remember, that will be considered a major sin.
I see our very good friend, Ustad, Christopher, listening to the program this evening. He says, there was a friend of mine, AK, that told me this morning that I don't have anything against Muslims in America, but I don't want the Sharia law in the United States. Could you please explain to me this, Christopher, Ustad?
The last hadith I quoted, remember, is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Remember that. The problem is not nobody, no Muslim wants Sharia in America or France or what have you. We are saying, your constitution, you say it is enshrined in the constitution, there is freedom of religion. It's enshrined in the constitution, freedom of speech. It's enshrined, you must remember, in the constitution, freedom of association. So when I want to keep a beard, so what is it troubling you? If my wife wants to wear the niqab and the hijab, why do you object on that? If she wants to wear long sleeves, so I want to apply the Sharia on myself. So look at the hypocrisy of the West. You will see the rabbis of the Jewish faith, big, big beards they have. And you must remember, they practice on many aspects. You must remember the kosher. Nobody troubles them, but they have Islamophobia. No, the Muslims cannot do this, the Muslims cannot do this, the Muslims cannot do that. It shows you are hypocrites, you are in the West, that you have double standards. How come when you make cartoons, caricature of our beloved Prophet Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you call it freedom of speech? But if somebody has to condemn and speak against the Holocaust, then you want to charge him. So where is, you must remember the consistency, where is your constitution then? It shows that for the Holocaust you have censorship, but to use all your jokes and caricature and cartoons against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you speak freedom of speech. That you must tell my friend, your friend Christopher, that the double standards of the West, it stinks. You must remember, And you can tell that to Pompeo and tell that to your Netanyahu, the crime minister. Anyway, he's going out very soon. You must remember this is the curse of Allah on the Jews. Because you must remember they murdered the messengers. They rejected the truth. Fariqan kazzabtum wa fariqan taktulun. So Almighty Allah told them, tahsabuhum jami'a. You think they're united. Wa qulubuhum shatta. Their hearts are totally, you must remember, fragmented. Dhalika bi annahum qawmun la ya'qilun. People say they're very intelligent. Quran says, no, they're not intelligent. And Almighty Allah has said in chapter 7, verse 167, wa idh ta'azzana rabbuka la yab'athanna alayhim ila yawm al-qiyamati man yasumuhum su'al azab. Allah has announced that till the day of justice, Allah will appoint people to punish the Jews. Majority of them, it means, because of their crimes. You can just see the crimes. And you, America, you, the European nations, you are silent. If it was any other country, they should be sanctions, they should be war, there should be so many other things. But just for apartheid Israel with the Nazi tactics, it is just no condemnation. So is that fair? So when we speak of Sharia, I am in South Africa, I want to practice on Sharia, I want to give Azan in the mic, I want to read Salat in the mosque, I want my wife to wear hijab, niqab. What is troubling you? When you want to practice on your Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, we say very good, you practice on your religion. We got no problem with that. But give me my right to practice on my religion. So that is, you are encroaching, infringing on my rights. That is what we are speaking. Now what they do, they twist the whole argument. No, the Muslims want Sharia. We want Sharia for ourselves. We don't want to impose it upon you. So what is wrong with that? So that is our point of argument.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I love your answer, Ustad. I was very sick, Mufti Saab. The doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So I went to see a traditional doctor, and he told me to slaughter a black chicken to cure me. Now I am well. Is what I did wrong, as the saying goes? God help those who help themselves. Anonymous, Ustad.
If you are a Muslim, and if you went to the Sangomas, and you went to the traditional healers, and they told you to read something and do certain actions, and 90% of the time, that is against Islam, then never mind your cure, you went right out to the fall of Islam. So you must be very careful. We say it's absolutely haram to go to them. That is the test Allah is putting on you. That people will do haram, they'll go to the casino, and then they will health, everything will be good. The day he starts making tawbah and repenting, his car meets up in an accident, he gets hijacked. That is the trial and the test Allah puts for human being. That you call muhula. Muhula means Allah is giving them respite. And for the Muslim, Allah gives barakah. You will go through challenges, but Allah will let you accomplish and achieve so much in minimum time. So therefore, brother, you better repeat your kalima again. If you had to utter certain words that he told you, or you had to do certain actions that were against Islam, even this whole story about slaughtering a black fowl or black goat, I don't know what and what. All this got nothing to do with Islam. You must remember, to go to these people's and gomas, and they're totally haram. My advice to you, read your kalima again and perform your nikah again.
Somebody says, is it permissible to go hunting, Ustad? If not, then when can it be permissible?
Where you want to go hunting? You want to go hunting for a wife? Or you want to go hunting for the animal? Or what hunting you want to do? You want to do hunting for the animal? So it's fine, you go hunting for the animal. There's an excellent book for the ulama and people and students who know Arabic, Munyatu Sayyadin, the best book ever that I read. And Hazrat Mufti Rizal Haqsab, our honorable ustad, he told me about it. And I asked him, Hazrat, did you read a better book? Then I said, no, this is one of the best books on this topic. So excellent book, you must read it. So about hunting and so forth. So yes, if you go hunting, for example, you hunt a springbok or you hunt a zebra or so forth and so on, it's permissible in Islam. But to torture the animal, that is not permissible. Here one masla comes about hunting, that if you use a gun, there's hunting guns today, and you shoot the animal and it falls down, and before shooting you said Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. So when you reach there, it's still alive, you slaughter it, you must remember it will be halal, everybody accepts that. And when you reach there, it was already dead, it passed away, that animal died already, then what happens? So the fatwa is, it is permissible, taqwa will be that you abstain from it. We're speaking of a proper hunting gun. Now in the books and all that, there's written about bunduk, that is olden times that. So, yekul ma khazaka. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must eat and you can eat for that animal, that way, that instrument, you must remember, like the arrow, it pierces the animal. So today you must remember the velocity, the speed of the bullet is such, it pierces right through the animal. So therefore the fatwa, and in Munyatu Sayyadin, you will find the fatwa there of the Hanafi Alim from Damascus, wonderful fatwa he wrote.
Ustad, you remember Jaden, one of our very also listeners used to message us on the Q&A. He says, evening AK, so tell us, why doesn't Islam allow the bodies to be cremated? Please, I'm recording your answer. Sir, this is Jaden Ustad.
My brother Jaden, in Islam we say no one can punish with fire except the one who created the fire. I am asking you, Jaden, be honest about that. You're not a Muslim, right? I'm a Muslim. But let's speak justice. What you think is a fair and a just system, that my father and mother passed away, so my father, we gave him the ghusl, we bathed him, and my mother, my sisters and them, they bathed her, my honorable mother. Then we enshrouded them, gave the kafan, and then we read the Salatul Janaza, the funeral prayer, and then the burial. Now I pose this question to you, and I want you, my brother Jaden, that you should make a note of this. In your leisure time, then you should go and refer to it, right? You are recording it, so you will listen to all the references that I'm giving you. You see, there was Adam and Eve, Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha, and they had children. You know, when we were in school, we learned about Cain and Abel. So we call Habil and Qabil. So both of them, they made sacrifice. So Almighty Allah accepted, you must remember, the sacrifice of Habil. But Almighty Allah did not accept of Qabil. So Abel's one was accepted, Cain's one was not accepted. So after jealousy, he told his brother, "La'aqtulannak, I'm going to slaughter you, I'm going to kill you." So he said, don't do that, you'll be guilty of a major sin. Kill him, he did indeed. So Qabil murdered Habil. So you must remember, now the body was lying there. Now what to do? So Almighty Allah, I want you, brother Jaden, you make note of this, chapter 5, surah 5, and read from verses 27 right up to 31. And Almighty Allah speaks of this. You got it? Chapter 5, verses 27 to 31. So the body is lying there. You have Habil. Qabil is a murderer. فَبَأَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا. Almighty Allah sent the bird, the crow. يَبَحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He starts digging up in the land, in the sand. لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ. To show him how to bury his brother. So to bury the deceased is some time immemorial from the time of Adam, peace be upon him, and his children also did it. So when one brother murdered the other, all. So he, Qabil, the murderer who committed the homicide, the premeditated murder, said, Ya waylata, woe to me, I'm so useless and hopeless. أَجَزْتُ أَنَكُونَ مِثْلَ هَذَ الْغُرَابِ فَأُوَارِيَ سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ. That I can't even bury my brother, this bird came to show me. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. So he showed regret. Regret not because, you must remember, he murdered, for that he's gone to hell forever. But you must remember that he could not even bury and so forth. So brother Hayden, this is the question I'm posing to you to stimulate your mind and your intelligence and your intellect. Let's juxtapose the two. There is a person ABC. We bathe him, we shroud him, and then you must remember that we read the funeral prayer and then we bury him. Is that more respectful? Or you take where I was in Newcastle, and I stayed there. I was just now 1-2 weeks ago in Newcastle. I went past my house. You know, when I go to Newcastle, I spent 20 years. I go there with nostalgia. It brings back wonderful memories. So not very far from my house, they had a crematorium. Afterwards, they built the other one. I could hear at my house how the body is now being burnt and exploding like. All this I could hear, the sounds and all these things here. So I am putting to you the question, Hayden, which one you think is more respectful? So definitely, if we are fair and we remove our jaundiced eyes, then you will say Islam is the natural system. Cremating is definitely a no-go area as far as Islam goes. Punishment with fire is the sole prerogative of Almighty Allah. Human being does not have permission to go and burn people. I give you one more example of Rahmatul Alameen, Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, is, will always be the only mercy to the entire universe and creation. Chapter 21, verse 107. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You know today what happens. The crooks come, this, oh, and Allah forbid, Allah protect us. They come and they burn the people, they burn the house, everything, Allah forbid. Now we catch them. So Islamically, can I pass the fatwa, the verdict, and say that because they burned my family member, so now we're going to take them and burn them? No, Islamically we can't do that. So although logic will demand that, Islam says no. Even with your enemy, the one guilty, he admitted to the crime, but he made tahriq, he burned people, but we Islamically cannot burn him. We will give him the death penalty, we will punish him different ways, but we will not allow to burn. We're not even allowed to burn animals, burn other creation, let alone human being who's the masterpiece of Allah's creation. So that is the answer. You got it, my brother Jaden. Chapter number 5, verses number 27, right up to 31.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Jaden says he has recorded you, Ustad. He will see to this, inshallah. Dear Mufti Saab, this is an anonymous post. Recently in our community, one of our senior Kufaz, who is a teacher at an Islamic school, has been out on bail for sexual assault, Ustad. The community is divided. Who do we entrust our children to? Anonymous, Ustad.
Remember that everywhere you will get people, you don't see the Pope. I told you about the Pope. There's no hope for the Pope. The Pope, you must remember, I challenged him, read the Bible in the original language, by heart, by memory, so the answer came, there's no hope for the Pope. Then the Pope went one step further. So what he did, he legalized same-sex marriages, Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve. I wonder what the Catholics have to say about that. That they say their priests must be living a life of celibacy. And, you know, now the Pope on his website, they caught him or whoever, the bishop or the Pope, and he was looking at all the naked women and all pornography. Now a big inquiry in the papal services. Who posted this? Is the Pope busy with other activities? Nighttime Pope, are you praying P-R-A-Y Pope? Or are you praying P-R-E-Y, checking all the curves out, oh Pope? I want to know, Mr. Pope, please tell us. So you must remember that will happen in every community, that people like that must be fired immediately. Once it's proven, you must remember that the Hafiz, the Imam, the Maulana, the Mufti, the Sheikh, whoever is guilty, you must remember, of sexual crimes, whatever, immediately must be fired, and that person must go and make tawbah and repent. But he can't be teaching children, he can't be on the musalla and be the Imam. Islam does not allow that. Christianity allows that, yes. Therefore, when the Pope goes, they have to apologize for all their crimes. You must remember that pedophilia, what they did to the children under their care. Because you must remember that they said celibacy, you can't get married. So they took advantage and exploited the children and so forth. Go read about it. You will see which countries everything happened. Go read and see.
Allahu Akbar. 24 minutes after 9, a student of Deen from Verla Mustad says that, please ask Mufti Saab to elaborate on the hadith regarding Ibn Sayyad, Ustad.
So you must remember that Ibn Sayyad was born in Medina Munawwara, and then the news spread that maybe this is Dajjal, but then it can't be Dajjal because Dajjal does not enter Medina Munawwara. And then when Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba went and he made dukh dukh and so forth, open Mishkat Sharif, open the hadith books, Musnad Ahmad, you'll find whole chapter on it. So the main discussion is Ibn Sayyad Dajjal? No, he's not Dajjal. Is he an agent of Dajjal? Is he the smaller Dajjal? Yes, he is. So he is, Rabbi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before the biggest Dajjal, the big deceiver, so there will be small ones in Abu Dawood, it comes 30 of them will come out. So he is one of them. But you can't say he's the main Dajjal, who Nabi Isa alayhi salam will kill and dispatch straight to Jahannam between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem in the city of Lut, called Lod nowadays.
I see Krish says, AK, you mentioned about the Pope. He says, I've read Pope Francis saying it is not right to identify Islam with violence. Ustad, Krish.
Yes, you must remember that when they want money, when they in a Muslim countries, then they play the tune. You must remember. I've been to Rome. If you study, I want you, Krish, to study something, right? Mm-hmm. Krish, this is very serious, my brother. And for you Muslims, listen carefully, because I know 90% of you don't know this also. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place, you must remember, in the 11th year of the Hijrah. Then we have, you must remember, then the Khulafa'i Rashidin, from the year 11 to 41. Then we have the Umayyad dynasty, they ruled for 90 years, from Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's time. Then we have the Abbasid dynasty, they ruled for 520 years. And remember, Umayyad dynasty had 14 Khulafa and rulers. And the Abbasid dynasty, they ruled for more than 500 years, 37 Khulafa. I want you, Krish, to do this. Today with the Google is very easy. So you put Ottoman Empire, right? O-T-T-O-M-A-N, an empire. They rule for more than 600 years. Ottoman Empire, 37 successors, Khulafa they had. Remember that they made such advances that they were 15 miles, 15 kilometers or so away from Rome. So you must remember the Muslims were conquering. So far they went. At that time, when the Muslim Empire was ruling from Turkey, they were ruling parts of Europe, parts of Africa, great parts of Asia. And therefore, the enemy made sure that they must dismantle it. And then they got the shaitan incarnate, Mustafa Ataturk. And then remember that you find the Khilafat was dismantled. And remember the apartheid regime of Israel was busy with the Balfour Declaration. And 1948 they came. So see how Islam was on the move already that time we're speaking about. So if you go today to Rome, the Vatican and so forth, you must remember they're not religious only. They are religious come political. You must remember that. So they will see where they can make influence. They will say Islam is not a violent religion when it comes to Egypt, when it comes to some Muslim country, Malaysia, when it comes to some other country, Indonesia or somewhere, because they have to sell the market, sell their brand. So you speak the tune, walk the talk, as they say. Their religion is expediency. Horses for courses. So that is what they do. But when they have their own caucus meeting, then you must remember that they will speak another tune. That when you can make Muslims into Christians, we will give you $500 each, $300 each. And you take other faiths and make them Christian, we'll give you $100. So that's how they operate, you must understand. So go study all this, my brother Krish, and then you will understand it.
Ustad, somebody is saying that, can a daughter-in-law take from the mother-in-law saying it's from her husband's share? Can a son say he does not want to distribute the mother's affairs as there is too many siblings and too much work? Ustad, anonymous.
Nobody can say that he don't want to do this. If you, the executor, you can't do it, so resign. So somebody else must be appointed as the executor. And remember that in Islam, this is the only place the milkiyat is ijbari. Ijbari means automatic. automatically, when my father passed away, mother passed away, I, my brothers, my sisters, they became owners after the burial, funeral expenses, after the debts of the deceased are paid, after the wasiya, whatever they bequeath for non-heirs, for people, organizations, all that is implemented, then automatically the residue goes to the heirs, and that is automatically they become the owners. To use lethargy and tiredness, complication, so you are guilty, so get out of that from the whole thing and give it to somebody else. They must run the affairs. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Regarding inheritance, whoever disobeys Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا. You go beyond the limits. You like that the estate must be delayed, because you can use the money. The rental will come to you, and then you can do whatever you want to. You can eat up, and you understand, you serve the rights of others without the people knowing. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Allah dispatches such people to the hellfire for a very, very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For such a person is a humiliating punishment. Chapter 4, verse 14.
So, what happens if your husband accuses his wife for adultery falsely after 47 years of marriage, Ustad?
When a person accuses his wife of adultery and cannot produce 4 male witnesses, and they all must have witnessed this crime with their naked eyes, then that we first they do hum samanina jalda. Then we must whip him and lash him 80 lashes in public. So that is what must happen. No one got the right to go and accuse another person. I tell you that this person committed fornication, adultery, but I don't have witnesses. So there will be 80 lashes given to the person in public. Open Surah Nur, chapter 24, and verses 3, 4, 5, 6. You will find all that there.
28 minutes to 10. We go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Stay tuned.